Justin.
What's up, man?
I wanted to give a quick update on the caffeine situation.
Okay.
And the sugar situation for me.
Okay.
So I think it was on the holdovers episode where I said, like, hey, I'm going to try out these NeuroMints for my caffeine instead of coffee and let you know how it went. And so I bought like 72 mints or whatever. Okay. And each of them is supposed to be equivalent to a cup of coffee. So, so, but then like, because they were mints and they were so like fresh and breezy, I ended up being like five or six of them a day.
Yeesh.
So, I think they worked. It's hard to tell if it's the caffeine or if it's just like the cool, like, you know, like mintness flowing through your sinuses. So there's that. I can't say if I had any like different stomach reactions to not putting black coffee in my stomach. It's sort of, I'm not sure I got any benefit. I don't know. But what I know is this. So I ordered more, but then I realized I was not going to get my shipment before I ran out here at home. And I ran out this morning and I didn't have any coffee like prepared.
Yep.
It was a rough day. So I didn't have the NeuroMints. I didn't have coffee. I was about to go to bed last night. And then my son fell out of his bed and I could hear it from my, I could hear it. And so that was a whole thing. So I went to bed pretty late because I spent like 45 minutes making sure he didn't have a concussion.
Yeah.
So then I got to bed late and then I slept poorly, very poorly. And I forgot to take like my medicine that I just now taken tonight. I forgot to take it until like after he fell out of his bed. So all this stuff that adds drowsiness. So I woke up this morning extremely groggy. And I was like, "Woof! All right, can't wait to get those NeuroMints or that coffee." And I had neither. I did the next worst thing to nothing. I went into my pantry.
Okay.
And I ate 4 spoonfuls of sugar in the raw.
Okay.
Just
sure.
I may as well have just snorted pure cocaine. because then my heart started beating. And then I was like, oh wait, I have tea. I have got some tea. So I was like, maybe my body will just think I had a very sugared tea.
Yeah,
right. And because of all the sugar and because I don't eat like meals before lunch, all morning I was like lethargic because then I was crashing from the sugar and I didn't have anything else to like level it out. And I didn't have any other foods to help metabolize the sugar.
Yeah.
And then my kids slept poorly too. So everyone was just in a shitty mood today. My kids were like, "Daddy, you get the remote. I wanted him the remote." And I was like, "No, I put it there for a reason." It was like everyone was like on Quaaludes. I don't know. And it was a horrible day. Tomorrow I'm just going to make coffee. I'm going to just see if I have a shock returning it to my system because just save the NeuroMints for like travel purposes.
Sure.
Like, I'll just take something with me in case I'm tired during this carpool or something.
Right.
But no longer take them prescriptively.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny how, like, when you get on something like that, you don't necessarily notice it. But when you come off it, you certainly do. It's like I've gotten to the point where I take then or whatever, like pretty much every night. And I'm like, I guess this is doing something. I don't know. I still feel like I have allergies. So you would think I'd be like super allergy free. And that's not the case because I'm this like year round. Last year bought a 365 day bottle. And so I've just been doing one a day. Well, I ran out and I was like, well, I guess I'll figure out whether or not this is actually doing anything. Literally the very first day that I hadn't, like the first 24 hours that I hadn't taken it, I was like, oh, and like I could feel it was like pollen in my lungs. Oh. I was like, what is this world? And I'm like, so I guess it was doing something. And but I would never have known it if I hadn't come off of it.
I have to take Allegra now because I didn't used to have this, but in the past couple of years, I like started manifesting like Allegra's an antihistamine. So I'm used to taking that right. when it's like with pets or, you know, histamines, things you, yes. you know, stuff you get into like your sinuses and your lungs, you know. And what I didn't know is that there are histamines that manifest in your skin. Like they don't flare up your sinuses or make you cough or wheeze. They just go into your skin and they give you like rashes. And they're purely like they're hardly allergy related, which is weird. It's like, if I understand it correctly, it's like, oh yeah, stress can do it. Alcohol can flare up histamines. And it's just, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just always been the case and my body has just fought against it and now it's aging and it can't, or if there's new stress in my life could be, sure. I don't know, but like it was weird. And so like, I was like, well, what am I going to do about this? He's like, I'll just put you on Allegra. I was like, I equate Allegra with like no longer sneezing.
Right.
I take Allegra twice a day. I don't have shit flare up.
Yeah, right.
My skin's damn near perfect as a fair skinned Irishman's could be, which is
nice.
Not 100%, but pretty good. Okay. Still.
But decent. Decent. Yeah,
decent. Sure. All things considered. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. Like, so I did not know all that about the skin stuff. The thing about that is, ever since I stopped taking it, which is like within the last week, I've been super itchy.
That's it.
I did not think at all like, oh, this is related. I've just been doing like this, and especially like on my scalp, I'm like, all right,
yeah,
I know there's nothing up there, but like I'm just itchy like all over.
Yep.
And that's got to be what it is. So I'm going to order this right now.
What are you talking? Which medicine is this?
It's Claritin.
Okay.
Loratadine, or however you say it. Yeah.
I had Claritin, or then they had, I think for a little bit I was taking Zyrtec, and then they finally put me on, like on Allegra, and you can get them all generic at Costco. Like I was getting them prescription, but then I just buy them in bulk now.
Yep. Yeah. I bought these on Amazon last time, and it's like 365 tablets, one a day.
Yeah.
$20 or something.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, cool. Taken care of for a year. So I'm about to place that order right now.
Do it. Yeah. You gotta.
It's crazy, man.
Gotta keep that supply chain moving, because I guess like I'm assuming one day our feet are going to hurt. Like everyone talks about when you get old, like it feels like there's rocks in your shoes all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm guessing that's more tolerable with some medication.
Sure.
And if you forget to take it, you're just miserable.
Right.
And it's like, oh boy, I'm going to start becoming like Robert Downey Jr., where you've got that like briefcase full of vitamins you take everywhere.
Mm-hmm. This is mine.
Yeah. You just, excuse me 1 second. I did, speaking of Robert Downey Jr. and his Nicorette, I did briefly explore, like, I wonder if there's caffeine gum. And I think there is, but like,
yeah,
no affordable quantities of it. Like you can buy like, it's not quite enough. It's I'm exploring it though, because that's more satisfying to me than drinking a cup of coffee. Although this morning I was like, ooh, I'd like some coffee.
Yep.
I'd love some.
Yeah.
So I had to make do with the hot lemon water again.
Well, there are worse things.
Which isn't so bad itself.
Right. Yeah. Right. Sure.
But it's a big step down. Yeah. 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 So the moral of the story is, if you're going to try stuff, have some backups ready, you know?
Wow. Yeah, for real.
Have some backups ready.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of backing up, sometimes when you back up, you fall out of things like buildings. And
my brain couldn't even remember what movie we were talking about based on that segue.
And if that happens in a film and it's shown on camera, there's a good chance that it's a stuntman you're seeing.
That's correct.
We're going to talk about the Fall Guy.
Hey,
that's me, Colt Sievers. And this is my hero's journey.
Can we just start from the top?
Okay, I'm not the hero of this story. I'm just a stunt guy. Trying to look cool in front of the director of this movie. That's her, who I just so happen to have a major crush on.
We need to keep it super profesh.
Cool. Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
Making out?
Yeah.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
There's just one little wrinkle.
The star of the movie,
Tom Ryder,
is missing. We need you to find him.
Why me?
You're a stuntman. No one's gonna notice whether you're here or not. No offense.
I mean, some taken.
Tom?
Full disclosure, he has fallen in with some shady people.
Just checking in on you.
And they're not gonna like you sniffing around.
I'm just a stunt guy!
This is insane, man. Uh-huh.
We got drugs, bad guys, and murder.
What's an ice crime?
Are you saying ice cream or ice crime?
Ice crime.
Okay, it's just with your accent, it's hard. I'm not reporting an ice cream.
Yes, no, I get that.
Okay.
This is an epic story. Of cosmic proportions.
Stunt!
The bad guys are closing in.
We're gonna hide you.
Nope, we're gonna beat the shit out of them. I never forget a fist. I don't mean it like that.
Nothing like a good twist.
Who doesn't love a twist?
Let's make some trouble.
Get out of my head.
Stay alive.
No matter
what,
we're gonna beat the shit out of him.
Paul. I have a better idea.
You wanna die? Okay.
Maniac. This stuntman's crazy.
We're gonna surround him.
And we beat the shit out of him.
Shit. One last stunt. Going down in a blaze of glory.
So, coincidentally, last episode that we've aired, it was also Ryan Gosling adjacent because we were talking about SNL.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
his episode had just aired, I believe.
And his episode had aired recently when before that show. So we ended up taking like 18, 20 minutes talking about SNL. And a large portion of that was how funny Ryan Gosling is.
Yes.
Okay. So this movie has been out for a week by the time this airs.
Mm-hmm.
I have high hopes for this. I mm-hmm. keep seeing trailers and I love Emily Blunt and I like Ryan Gosling and they're just being all charming. And I'm like, oh man, it looks like fun.
Yep.
What do you got, Dustin?
So The Fall Guy, for those of you who don't know, this is based on a TV series, from, I don't know, this is the 70s, 80s? I don't even know.
This is a TV? Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's based on a TV show. 80s, there you go. And yeah, it stars Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Hannah Waddingham, Teresa Palmer, and a whole bunch of others that you'll probably recognize through bits and pieces.
Ooh, Stephanie Sue's in this. Stephanie Sue,
yeah, correct.
From Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yep. She has a small part, but it's a notable part. Winston Duke.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Winston Duke is great, by the way, in everything. So The Fall Guy, Ryan Gosling plays stuntman Cole Sievers, and Emily Blunt plays his love interest, Jody. Jody is, at the beginning of the film, a camera op on a show he's working, and an accident occurs, which breaks his back and takes him out of the business for 18 months. 18 months later, he's called back to work, and Jody has been promoted to director, and she evidently is asking for him specifically on this new film to be her stunt person. And meanwhile, the star of the film, played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, is nowhere to be found. And so the producer of the film asks Ryan Gosling's character, Colt, to track him down and find where Aaron Taylor-Johnson went. and get him back on set so they can complete the film. So that's the plot. There's a lot of twists and turns as it goes. It's, you know, essentially a mystery story. And, you know, it'll be a lot of Colt tracking down a lead and encountering a strange scenario or outlandish characters and having to deal with that. And each stop along the way, there's another set piece to showcase the stunt work that he's capable of and that the film clearly wants to sort of celebrate. I gave this 2.5 or 3 stars. I think it's fine. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff in here that's really, really great. And I won't talk about spoilers in this review. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of like narrative choices that are fantastic. And there are a lot of set pieces that I find really cool. And of course, you know, it being a film about stunts, the stunt people go all out in this film, right? Like this is heavy on the stunt work and it's great. But there are some negatives to the film. But before I get into those, I want to talk about a few more positives. Ryan Gosling, of course, is great in this. Emily Blunt is great. I think that the film really only would ever work if there was chemistry between the two leads, and luckily there is. I think that the film is well directed. It's directed by David Leitch, who last made Bullet Train. Good sense of action choreography there. It's well made. I guess without going to spoilers, that's kind of where the positives end. It's a cool looking movie and there's some cool performances and there's some really great narrative choices, but there's this distance that the film keeps. And there's, I think, a couple of reasons for this. One, the film lingers in a few very key scenes. It makes the entire pace feel slow and begins to lose me. So what I mean by that is there's a moment. So when Colt and Jody are reunited on the set of Jody's film, she begins to kind of tell her side of the story, which is that during those 18 months, he kind of lost himself. And in so doing, lost her. Like she was when he ran away from who he was, he ran away from her and their relationship. And so she's bitter and she's upset about, you know, basically like, I wanted to be there to help you and nurse you back to health and be on your side. And you wouldn't let me do that. I thought we had more than a fling. I thought this was going to be a lasting thing. And, you know, and you just tossed me aside. And like, this is all valid, but the film, proceeds to, take their reunion and put it into a comedy bit, which lasts so incredibly long. And there's a few scenes in this that are done that way. It's moments that maybe should be dramatic that are treated comedically. And the comedy goes on forever. And what this has a tendency to make me think is like, this is a bad Saturday Night Live sketch. You know, the worst of Saturday Night Live is when the sketch just goes on and on and on and on and on aimlessly. And it's even worse when it thinks there's something really funny. Like I saw one recently where the whole premise was built around the way that a character says one specific phrase. Like, if you don't think the way that character says that phrase is funny, you won't find any of this funny.
It would be a good time to get up and pee.
Yeah, and it's like an 8-minute sketch, and you're just like, good Lord, I can't take it anymore. And there are moments like that in this where I'm like, how many pages is this scene?
Yeah.
Why? And so in those moments, the screenwriter in me and the just audience member that wants to keep things moving checks completely out. I'm like, I understand what you're doing, but you're taking so long to get to the point that I'm over it. And you're treating it comedically, so I can't take it seriously. Because again, like it relies on, do you find this funny? And as good as Ryan Gosling is in this role and in this film, it's not always funny. It's oftentimes less funny than it thinks it is. And that's not a great place to be, because it's like, I can see the humor, but I don't laugh at it. Like I can see that joke. Like it doesn't, I'm not missing it. I see the joke. I see the punchline. Yeah. And best case scenario, you get a, huh. And that's just not enough. And especially in a scene that goes on for 8 minutes,
you get
or
that
12 minutes.
You get that, that Simpsons, the cut to the audience, the,
that's exactly right. It's 100% like that. So, you know, all the good choices it makes, it then squanders with these ridiculous scenes that go on too long and then weird devices. So, I mean, the film at its heart is a parody film. They parody filmmaking. And by extension, they parody other films and genres. Mm. There's a pretty timely Dune parody in this. And so there's stuff like that that you're like, okay, I get it. I don't particularly find it funny, but I get it. And so the film is a parody. So they use narrative devices like the split screen when characters are on the phone with one another, and they try to do something kind of interesting with it. But it's another example of a scene that goes on for way too long and doesn't give you that sense of like, forward momentum. It's just kind of like in these long scenes, the film stalls out and continues to like just give you words, but it doesn't give you character really. Like it's not revealing anything new to you. And especially when you have these long scenes where characters are detailing what has been going on in their lives for the last 18 months, we've seen it. Like you don't, you know what I mean? Like you don't have to tell me, like I kind of know. And you don't have to do five scenes about it. You could do one, even if so it's stuff like that, where for every good decision it makes a couple bad ones. And so I found myself with this film on a roller coaster of going, this is really good. And I'm enjoying this. And then going, ah, they lost me again. Mm. And then going, this is really good. I like this. Ah, they lost me again. And every time it was something different, maybe it's a scene that goes too long. Maybe it's, you know, a performance. I do feel like so Gosling and Blunt do great. Aaron Taylor Johnson is massively miscast here. I'm not a fan of Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Have you seen him in a movie that you thought was like good casting, or do you always feel like he's out of place?
I always feel like he's out of place.
I mean, other than like, what about like Kick-Ass? Did he work there?
Kind of, but that is also a role that could have been played by any
sure.
Yeah. Any guy his age. He didn't bring anything unique to it.
Yeah.
So I'll say like, I don't hate the guy, but I've never been wowed by him. So when you put him in this role where the whole point of his character is he is the biggest movie star on the planet, like in this world, he is the Tom Cruise. He is whatever, like there are, he's a brand, right? Yeah. He's on every billboard. He's doing fragrance commercials and everything. Like he's in everything. And I'm just like, that guy?
Yeah.
Like that guy? So I don't necessarily think he's terrible in this, but I think he's miscast because in that role, you have to have somebody with incredible charisma. And the problem is you cast him up against Ryan Gosling. So he's got to one up Ryan Gosling.
It would have been better to like cast like I'm trying to think of young people who are like Zac Efron or, you know, like someone whose name people actually know.
I feel like you almost have to.
Famous star in the world played by who?
Right. Right.
Aaron. Well,
so because Ryan Gosling is also his stunt double, you have to make sure there's some physical similarity between him and Ryan Gosling, whoever you cast. But that's where I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, do you just do like Matthew McConaughey or like, you know, like somebody that I'm like, okay, this is a real world big name, mm-hmm. you know, could put butts in seats, even if he's not like a big action star. Or do you just like cast Tom Cruise? Like, I have no idea what you do, but this isn't it.
Yeah.
And so anytime he's on screen, even though he's supposed to be playing this obnoxious movie star, it just doesn't feel like he has the charisma where he'd be capable. Like, I don't buy the world of this film where he's the biggest movie star on the planet. And then the producer that's in the film, Hannah Waddingham. I'm not familiar with Hannah Waddingham. I think she's from Ted Lasso. I felt like her role is good in this, but maybe could have been played by somebody different. And like, I don't want to get into spoilers, like what that character, like the journey that character goes on, but I do feel like that might have been a misstep along the way. And again, I'm not blaming these actors. Like, the actors are bringing everything to it that they can. The problem is, one, the writing, and two, of these two specific characters, the writing, but also, I just think it would have been better suited with like a bigger name in those roles. I don't know. I think, even like Teresa Palmer, she's a very small role in this, but she's supposedly playing like the co-lead of the film Aaron Taylor Johnson is in. And I'm just like, yeah, again, that's where I would expect you to cast somebody that's like currently big and, you know, like on fire. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if that's where you cast like a Jennifer Lawrence or something, but like, you cast somebody that you would recognize, you know, and like Teresa Palmer, you certainly do, but not to the extent that I think is required of this. So all that to say, like, you know, there are nitpicks and, you know, Teresa Palmer is a nitpick, but like, I do think that there are great things and not so great things about it. And every time the screenplay happens where you're like, oh, clever, that's a great twist or that's a good moment, then you're like, ah, but now I have to watch Aaron Taylor Johnson do this thing and I'm not buying that. And then, you know, and so it's just a mixed bag. So like I'll say, you know, best case scenario for me, this is a 3-star film. It's just take it or leave it. It is what it is. I don't even really have like a huge way to save it other than just cutting down time and making sure that it flows. It's more economic. Cause as it is, man, those long scenes, they just stall the movie out. And that sucks because like it could be so tight and it could be such a good comedic thing. And especially comedy. Like if you linger in comedy, it dies. Like comedy is brevity,
the soul of wit.
Yeah, right. But it's when you just like throw it out there and watch it flounder, even if it was legitimately funny, it very quickly becomes unfunny. So that's where there's some not so great stuff in this. But yeah, I mean, look, it's a love letter to stunts, and stunts are great, and you know. They certainly do a good job of trying to do things practically and making, you know, the stunt people look good in this film. And they do, and it's great. The action set pieces are all pretty good, but there's just some big problems I have, you know, that create that roller coaster type feeling. So it's a weird movie because normally when you're in a movie or when I'm in a movie, I can pretty quickly figure out whether this is for me. And this is one of those weird movies where it is, and then it's not, and then it is, and then it's not. And so I'm like just on the fence. So like, consider me at three, straddling the fence in both directions. If somebody came to me and said, look, I really love that movie, I'd say, cool. Yeah, I can see why. And if somebody came to me and said, I really hate that movie, I'd say, cool, I can see why. So it's weird.
Yeah, David Leitch, for those who don't know, he co-directed John Wick, the first John Wick.
Yeah.
And so, but then he didn't go on to do any more of those with Chad Stahelski. He went and did Atomic Blonde and Deadpool 2 and Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, Nobody, which I believe, well, he didn't direct Nobody, but he produced it.
Yeah.
Bullet Train, which I saw, Violent Night, was the producer on Violent Night. So as a director, I haven't seen Atomic Blonde. I haven't seen Hobbs and Shaw. I haven't seen this film. But like Deadpool 2, I didn't really like that much at all. Hobbs and Shaw seems like a very silly movie that I don't care to see. And it's one of those things where it's like, I certainly respect the guys. I assume the way he tries to make his movies, which is with a lot of respect towards the stunt crew and the action filmmaking.
Yeah.
But Bullet Train and Deadpool 2 are very unmemorable to me. And so I wonder if it's just, he doesn't have the ability to make a story more compelling than what's on the page.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, I wonder if it's just that, like, there's nothing, I don't know. I have hopes for it because this is a good cast. These are good leads. And it seems like some fun, but it's David Leitch. And I don't know if I should have high hopes for the final execution, because Bullet Train is similar to this, the way you're describing it. Bullet Train has some fun moments, and Brad Pitt is a big part of what's so fun about watching the movie, and a lot of other members of the cast too. Yeah. But it's got like this messy, like Guy Ritchie style, like script to it that kind of just, I'm not sure what it is about it. It's just too frenetic and too like, I'm sure there's less characters in this film, but
I haven't seen Bullet Train, but it certainly seems like there's fewer characters here, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they all get the time they should have. I agree with you. I think so. The screenwriter on this is, let me.
It was Drew Pearce.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 was one of his.
Yeah. And Rogue Nation and like, you know, so this is a good writer. So I'm curious why it doesn't work as well as I hope that it would. Or I guess he was story by on Rogue Nation, so maybe not the screenplay, but I think maybe it's just I don't know. I mean, it's not the fault of the actors. I don't even know that it's the fault of Drew Pearce. Like, I mean, obviously I think some of those long scenes are probably long on the page, but some of them have the air about them that they might be improvised in some way. And in which case I'm not even going to fault the actors for improvising. I fault the director for not cutting it in post. Like, you have to then salvage that and like, you know, trim it down. And I just feel like, yeah, I mean, I just feel like this falls on the director, more so than anybody else. But like, I'm saying that like he's committed a war crime, like he hasn't. This is just a mid film, and that's not a bad thing. Like, if you're looking for a good time at the movies, go see a matinee. Like, it's not gonna kill you.
That's going to be the title of this episode. Not a war crime.
It's not the Fall Guy. It's not a war crime. could be a lot worse.
This would have been the perfect transition for me to go into a zone of interest. Speaking of war crimes.
Speaking of war crimes. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the bottom line. Like, do I recommend you see this? I think this is a wait for streaming movie. But if you're so inclined to go see it, go see a matinee. you're not going to be mad that you did. There's enough big set pieces in this that I think, you know, seeing it in theaters is probably cool. But like, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world if you wait for it to pop up on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah. And that's probably what I'm going to do. I'm only seeing what else is coming out this summer. There's Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
I was thinking about seeing that.
Yeah, man.
And then speaking of Deadpool, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go see Deadpool and Wolverine when it comes out. That newer trailer just came out recently, and it was, I know you didn't watch it, but it sold me. So, okay. Without going into spoilers about what's in it, you could have guessed this if you thought hard enough about it, but what the Deadpool films are missing for me is some kind of emotional anchor. And I suspect that they have got an emotional anchor now in this film, and that anchor is Hugh Jackman. So if they're using him the way they seem to be, he may be more of the heart of the movie. If that, which is appropriate for that actor and that character, and keeps it from having to be on the shoulders of Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
So, and then there's other fun stuff happening too. So anyways, so not directed by David Leitch, directed by Sean Levy, who, he's directed a ton of things, but most recently Free Guy, which I thought was perfectly fine of a movie. Yep. That was fun.
Yep. And he directed that other movie with Ryan Reynolds, The Adam Project, right?
Let's look up Sean Levy real quick. Whoa, he looks like old Chris Columbus.
He does. Yeah, you're right.
Wow. God, they look like brothers. Okay, anyway, sorry. The Adam Project, Free Guy, Real Steel with Hugh Jackman, a lot of Night at the Museum films, three of them.
8 episodes of Stranger Things.
Yeah. He's heavily involved in Stranger Things.
Date Night, The Pink Panther. Fat Liar.
We just talked about that.
Oh, yeah. Jet Jackson, the movie.
He did? Where is that? Oh, is that down the TV?
Yeah, 46 episodes of the TV series, too.
Wow. So, I think he's, whatever, he's perfectly capable I trust the collaboration. I like that he has a history with both of the actors, and that might mean something. So
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, yeah. Speaking of movies for the summer, that might be one I get out and see. Gotta say. So if people are looking for what can Connor contribute to the new release list, one, maybe two films coming up.
Nice. Better than none.
The rest of them are gonna wait for streaming. Another interesting thing. I was going to cancel my HBO subscription today just to tell it not to renew, because that promotion is over. The $2.99 promotion I was on.
Yep.
And it was like, hey, we'd hate to see you go. And I was like, yeah, I know. I knew this was coming. Yep. They're like, what about 3 more months at $4.99? And I was like, And so I messaged Tara and I was like, you have any more shows you want to watch? Because they're just throwing the service at me.
Please
keep us. Please, yes. Don't go.
We need you.
And she was like, I'll check. And I'm like, I really don't care either way. Just let me know.
Yeah, right.
All right. Okay, cool. Well, that's the Fall Guy and other things. Great. Goodbye.